So let's say you lost your job during the pandemic. Toxic positivity is like, you know, at least you still have a roof over your head. You should be grateful about that. Some people don't have that, right? Completely ignoring the fact that I just lost a job, which is, you know, a pretty serious offense. I deserve to be sad, maybe a little angry, frustrated, but
And two.
all of a sudden my situation doesn't matter because I should be grateful. I should be looking on the bright side because someone doesn't have that. Does that invalidate my struggle? I mean, if we're both drowning in water, you know, whether it's 20 feet or 10 feet, we still drowning.
Again, and today we're going to be talking about toxic positivity. So, you know, we have these things like good vibes only, cheer up, you know, it could be worse. And, you know, these things can be inspiring, but they can also fall under toxic positivity. So it's this belief that no matter how serious or difficult a situation is, we should always just maintain this positive mindset. And, you know, while having a positive outlook on things can build hope, which is a very good thing, having a good vibes only approach to life leaves no room for how we're actually feeling. Like, and then that means it also doesn't leave any room for us to actually address how we feel and then like solve the problem. Like, think about it. If you don't addresses that a problem exists in the first place, how can you even solve it? Like, you can't. So in a way, we can even be the ones gaslighting ourselves with these same mantras because we're the ones invalidating how we feel in the first place. So.
And I think it's also very easy to get build up resentment that way too, when we aren't really authentic in how we feel and able to express those emotions that we feel on positive, because we have this like just the sense of I need to always look on the bright side, you know. And you know, as an adult, it's very easy to want to establish yourself as someone who's competent, as someone who is mastering life and they have it all together. But we all know the reality is we don't have it all together, especially in the middle of a pandemic. Mm-hmm. And it's like, yes, like Emma said, yes, it is good to try to look at things on the positive side, but not to the extent that you're completely ignoring the other things that you're feeling, because those feelings are valid too. So let's say you lost your job during the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
Toxic positivity is like, you know, at least you still have a roof over your head. You should be grateful about that. Some people don't have that, right? Completely ignoring the fact that I just lost a job, which is, you know, a pretty serious offense. I deserve to be sad, maybe a little angry, frustrated, but all of a sudden my situation doesn't matter because I should be grateful. I should be looking on the bright side because someone doesn't have that. Does that invalidate my struggle? I mean, if we're both drowning in water, you know, whether it's 20 feet or 10 feet, we still drowning, you know? Mm-hmm. And it's also like in the memes too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, everyone knows I love to share my little affirmations and stuff on IG,
yeah,
and things like that. But some of them, they do make it seem as if like, if you're experiencing anything negative, if you're having a strong time, it's just like, well, pull yourself up, get over it. Remember who you are, blah, blah, blah. And I think those things are helpful at a point, like after you've processed all those negative emotions, but I don't know about as soon as you feel it, people just trying to push those type of sentiments on you, or people sending you those type of things maybe to try and cheer you up. It's kind of insensitive.
Yeah, it's really insensitive, especially if you don't know like what really happened. You know, a lot, like, we're walking around each day and it's just like, not everybody knows what we're dealing with, what we have gone through. And we just sometimes we haven't talked about it. We haven't processed it. And it's so easy to say, like, you know, you gotta, you, like, it could be worse. Like, just pull yourself out of it. Choose happiness. And it's like, I mean, it's heavier than you think sometimes. So, yeah. And then, like, you know, the one that surprised me is, like, it could be a friend who's, like, repeatedly posting, like, how productive they are during quarantine or during the lockdown. Like, I've done all of these things. I learned a language. All of these great things. But it's just looking at just the positive.
Yeah. And it's also, it's just very one-sided, because you're filling yourself up with all these productive things, right? Trying to be positive. Why are you trying to keep yourself so busy? You know, it's things like that. It's like, are you taking the time to really process what's happening? And it's just when you look at all these, the ways that toxic positivity, like, just sneaks its way in, you know, you see it and you understand it's because of this whole, like, division between the emotions. Any emotion that's not happiness or joy or contentment, or it's something with that connotation of happiness, is seen as negative. And it's seen as something as, like, I shouldn't feel. I shouldn't be feeling anything like this. I shouldn't be feeling angry. I shouldn't be feeling sad. I shouldn't be feeling these things. And it's like, when you think about it, this is stuff that we've internalized from childhood. And we kind of just carried it. Like, you know, who knows what we were taught, like, in the home or in our past relationships. But it's like, this is the way that some people relate to the world. But like we were saying, it's not that healthy. Mm-hmm. Life is about the entire spectrum.
Not just a part of it.
Yeah. And there's no way, if you don't embrace the sadness, then how are you going to embrace the happiness to truly feel, to really enjoy it, if you don't embrace all of the spectrum, you know?
Yeah. And that brings me to the other, like, another way toxic positivity comes up. It's like literally you telling yourself, like, you know, I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't be dwelling on this. I shouldn't be sad. I shouldn't be lonely. I shouldn't be scared. I shouldn't be anxious. Like, you telling yourself you shouldn't feel how you feel, instead of giving yourself the space to feel whatever you feel when you feel it.
Right.
So yes, like you said, basically anything that sends this message that unhappy emotions are somehow bad or negative. And there's, like, so many reasons why people use these. Like, there's so many reasons why people use toxic positivity. Like, a major one could be, like, you know, they're actually trying to be helpful. Like, they're not trying to hurt you when they say these things. Like, these memes, like, family members saying these things, like, you know, when you lost your job or even yourself. So it could be, like, you're trying to make yourself feel, or they're trying to make you feel, like, more grateful for what you have by saying, you know, you shouldn't dwell on what happened. But it's, like, you're not ungrateful. Like, it's not even a matter of that. It's like, this situation is disappointing, and that's what it is. Like, I have all of these other things, or maybe I have this other thing, but it's just like, this situation still sucks. Like, no matter how you paint it, it still sucks.
I don't know. I think it's also, it's really just a rush in the process too. You know, sometimes something just happened and it's like, you just want to vent. It's like, I just want to vent. I'm just trying to cope with what even happened. And you're just rushing me along my healing process. And it's just like,
wait a minute. Wait a minute.
I'm not there yet. I need the space to be angry. And it's like you say, people don't come into it with poor intentions, you know, because when something negative does happen, being grateful for what you do have and looking at what you have, it is helpful.
Yeah.
But it's a step in the process. And it just goes back to, you know, people feeling uncomfortable dealing with these negative emotions. Like, even it's us feeling uncomfortable and even like
negative emotions.
Huh?
You said negative emotions.
See?
Yep. We conditioned.
It's us feeling uncomfortable, and sometimes our loved ones feeling uncomfortable, and it's just how we've been taught to process these things. And it's not until maybe someone points it out, because how could positivity be toxic?
Yeah.
You know, people never think of it that way.
When you said that, it also made me think of, like, you know, sometimes when you're a kid, or like when you're around a kid, you now are very frustrated about something. Let's say someone has your toy now or something. And then, or like you have a bunch of other toys and someone now has your toy, but this is the one you want now, you know, kids. So, and then now the adult there is now like rushing you through it, like, okay, you could have this popsicle instead of just like sitting with the emotion, because what does that make arise in you? You know, just discomfort. This child is like now yelling or crying or something, and that's uncomfortable.
And so when we say these things, like, you know, you could have it worse, or like, just think positive, we might just be trying to push down this discomfort in like a similar way. We don't want to feel that discomfort, or the person who's saying it to us doesn't want to feel that discomfort either.
Yeah, it goes back to just that, like you say, that pressure to fix the situation on hand and to make it all right and to make everything like go back to, you know, just push towards that one side of the spectrum. But it's just like, not everything in life could just be controlled in that way. And you really just need to kind of embrace what it is that's being experienced, because we have to get used to being uncomfortable. And I think, especially at this generation, we've become really accustomed to like instant gratification. Like, as soon as with social media, you know, when we want content, it's there. When we want to watch TV, when we want to watch a series, we are watching all 16 episodes one time. I can't tell you how frustrated I was watching Lupin, and I realized it had a part two. And I had to wait months for it. I was upset. Emma, I was upset. And I realized, like, how do I remember when we were younger, we had to wait a whole week.
I could not. Like, how did I wait so long for Pretty Little Liars? Like, every... I'm like, and the suspense. There's always so much suspense with those. So I'm like, how did I even do that?
Yeah. And so if I'm going through a negative, I guess, maybe period of my life, and I'm down, I'm sad, or whatever, sometimes it does feel like, especially because we're so used to seeing like that highlight reel on social media or even in shows, how quickly things just wrap up neatly. Sometimes it does feel like, well, how long is this gonna last? And it's like uncomfortable. It's uncomfortable. And it's, sometimes it's hard to figure out like when is the happy emotion is gonna come back, you know, when is this gonna pass? And I think even with the pandemic, this whole like dealing with that whole uncertainty, it's been very challenging to
amplify.
Yeah, it's been very challenging to look on the bright side, you know what I mean? And I think even though people mean well, it's really just insensitive to the fact that this is a hard time that we're going through. People have lost their loved ones, jobs, their entire livelihood. You get what I'm saying? And yeah, it's like, I get that you want to help people cope through it and find a way to move through it. But a big part of that is more so acceptance and less looking on the bright side.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, that just brings me to like, another, like, it, you said it that way so beautifully. It's just another way that toxic positively manifests is like, you know, it distracts from the issue at hand. Like, Yeah. It literally is an avoidance coping mechanism. So like you're avoiding what's going on in this present moment to push away any like internal discomfort that you may have. And you might not realize that you're doing it, but it's like, it's also like that. So like good vibes only. Mind you, that can be helpful because you're like, okay, let's say you have this in your room. You're like, you know, this is my sanctuary, my safe place, you know, and maybe I don't want people who are constantly negative in this space. However, it becomes an issue when it's like, no. Only positivity, and I myself can only feel a certain way when I'm in here, and I can only live this certain way, but it's like, is that really helping? And like, after everything that you've been through, like, is that really realistic? So like, yeah. It's just having that like always positive mindset can force you to push down or just like suppress how you really feel. And what that's known is like, you're not being authentic then. So now you're not being your real self, your true self. And that's exactly when positivity becomes toxic. So when it's not genuine, or when it's forced, or you're like rushing it along. And the issue with this is like two major things. Like, have you ever noticed that when you try not to think about something, actually more likely to think about it? And then trying to actually like push down or suppress these like feelings that are not happiness can actually lead to even more internal discomfort. So like more anxiety, depression, overall poor mental health, poor sleep patterns, more substance abuse, prolonged grief if you have lost a job, lost a loved one, lost a relationship because maybe it just ended. And there's even like a greater chance of acute stress and even PTSD. So this is just something to think about when you're thinking about like pushing it down.
Yeah. And just to say too, you know, the reason why it's so important to be authentic and true to yourself and how you feel is because it's a boundary, right? Every day that you decide to put on this mask of positivity and go out and talk to others, you are not showing up for yourself, and you are not making space for the support that you may actually need in this time. And, you know, it might actually, it's almost like is it too much to say it's almost like self-harm? Like you harming yourself almost by not being.
Did we not just talk about the whole list of effects? I would say so. I think it would
be. Yeah. And it's just to show like that bridge of how this lack of authenticity could lead to that, you know, the depression and the poor mental health, because your body knows. Your body and your subconscious knows that you aren't being authentic and true to yourself. And that's why you have all these ramifications, not sleeping well and things of that nature. And that's why it's just so important to show up for yourself by being authentic and not engaging in the toxic positivity.
Yeah, because then like when you label all these feelings as like bad, now what happens if you're feeling these quote-unquote bad feelings? You feel ashamed. Like when you're anxious or scared or you're just disappointed, like all of the positive thinking in the world might not help you to feel up, and so it leaves no room for self-compassion. So you're just being very critical of yourself now. Mm-hmm. And you're not even giving yourself the grace to feel how you feel. And now all of a sudden, this human experience of feeling all of these emotions is this very horrible thing. And this is not me saying that like feeling what you feel might not be painful, because sometimes it can be uncomfortable. Sometimes it can be really painful, especially if it's something that's been pushed down for so long. I think the next thing would be to say like how, well, I guess to talk more about how we can move away from this like toxic positivity and just, yeah.
Yeah. I think the biggest thing is, it's like you say, processing these emotions and sitting with it is not going to be a walk in the park, right? Because these emotions are very intense and they bring up a lot of uncomfortableness. And that's why people label them as negative and kind of want to avoid doing the work, essentially. But if you have someone that you really trust, that you could talk to, that could be a way to help you move away from avoiding how you feel and just kind of like just getting to the point of expressing it. What Emma said about self-compassion, you know, sometimes when we start with the negative self-talk, it's very hard to have almost like someone fact-check the things that we say to ourselves, right? Yeah. And having someone there to talk to about these things, they could kind of pull us out of those patterns or that negative self-talk that might be just pushing you further and deeper into those intense emotions, right? They help you to process it. They question the way you've understood something, you know, they walk you through it. And I think that back and forth is very, very helpful sometimes because how we perceive things sometimes could be worse than how it actually is, you know, especially if it's pulling on our insecurities and our past experiences and things like that. And if you don't have somebody that you trust, you know, we be telling y'all all the time, get a good journal, mm-hmm. the notes app on your phone. I see some people started like emailing themselves, like just talking through like how they feel. You have to just get it out because those things bubbling up, you're going to end up snapping when someone breathes too hard. You know what I mean? It's going to come out.
Yeah.
And so if you want to make sure that it comes out in a way that you aren't harming someone else, then I think it's really best to try to talk to someone, release those expectations that you have to be quote unquote strong, you have to be positive, in a positive mindset. You have to say everything is going to be all right, or I'm doing great, I don't have no issues. You have to release that and open up and be vulnerable with that person you trust or with the medium that you trust. But I think that's a very, very big, big part of releasing that toxic positivity.
Agreed. And sometimes, you know, it's just like funny because like I'm thinking about like, I'm like thinking about saying what I'm going to say next, but I'm also like, but wait, y'all, wait until next episode because it's all like so linked. So I'm like she said, Marissa said, like another medium, like sometimes, you know, yes, we can get all the support we can from like a friend or maybe a close loved one. Friend might be a close loved one. And sometimes that's not enough because they're not like qualified to help us in the way that we need help. And like maybe they are, you know, naturally they may be a little bit more biased because like they know us or they know our whole history. And this is part of the reason why therapists don't like provide therapy to people they know, like for the most part. So yeah, like sometimes therapy can be really helpful with this. Sometimes it's, so toxic positivity can be more of a, maybe sometimes it's just like the posts that are making you more uncomfortable. And sometimes it can be even deeper than that. So like I mentioned before, us going through whatever event and we haven't really talked about it, or we talked about it and it's not getting really, the effects of it are still coming out in ways that that are harmful to us and others. So like in our jobs, in our relationships and so on. So I think that's just what I was saying more of. I think it can be difficult, like Marissa said, to process these emotions, and it can be helpful. So for me, I know that I was very angry as a teenager. So I try not to, I think I was trying not to feel disappointed and hurt and sad. And so I was just angry all the time. I was so angry. And what I didn't realize until I allowed myself to feel all of these emotions was that I wasn't feeling like the happiness, the excitement, the like surprise in a good way to the extent that I can feel them now. So what sometimes people don't realize is like, okay, I'm going to numb out all of these emotions, like this disappointment, the sadness, the hurt, because it's just too painful. But what sometimes we don't realize is like, it doesn't work like that. We can't just numb out the emotions that we don't want to feel, the ones that sometimes people have termed them as bad or negative. We end up numbing out all of them. So the happiness, the excitement. And for me, it wasn't until something that really it just forced me to feel like that sadness and all of that happened to me, like just really super like heartbroken, that I realized like, oh my gosh, like I wasn't like loving my friends and connecting with them as well as I can now. Like I just wasn't as happy as I can be now. And then it's what you said, Marissa, like I wasn't talking about certain things, and it's more so because like I felt like I couldn't, like this is a private thing, you keep that, you don't talk about these things because it's not just your business, like it's also the family's business. You know, that sometimes it's a cultural norm or family norm, but
definitely in the Caribbean.
Yeah, so, and it's really harmful. Like, it's also my thing too. So I wasn't getting the support that I needed because I didn't feel like I had the space to express what was going on with me. And sometimes you may not need to express exactly what's going on. It's your choice. Sometimes you can also express like how something is making you feel. And it's just in that space for someone just to say like, wow, like that must be really, that sounds really challenging. You sound like you're dealing with a whole lot. And it almost gives you the permission to say like, oh, you're not gonna tell me not to feel that way. You're not gonna tell me to jump over. Like, it's okay that I feel this way. I am dealing with a lot. You know, like I've been trying to belittle it this whole time, but yeah, that is a lot. Like, wow, okay. Yeah. Okay. Like you get that support and it feels really good. So yeah, that's another point. So when people feel a certain way, whether it's happy, sad, disappointed, angry, or so on, you know, it'd be helpful for us to move into like actually validating how they feel. You know, people may feel differently than I do, than you do, and that's fine. And they may cope in different ways. It's so helpful when we validate how we feel and we say like, you know, that really matters, how you feel matters. Because sometimes people have never heard that. Or they are the ones now who have internalized this message that it doesn't matter how they feel, doesn't matter, or how they feel isn't a big deal. So now they're telling themselves how I feel isn't a big deal. And it's like, I'm like thinking of like theorists now. So it's like, you know, you have this like your real self, and then your ideal self, and now you're like putting even more space between the two. Like this ideal self is like unattainable. Like this is this person who only feels these happiness, all of those things. And it's just like, that's not realistic. And the more you try to make yourself like that ideal self, as opposed to just being your real authentic self, the more discomfort you're gonna feel anyway. So it's like listening, validating, and not offering unsolicited advice. Like
that is a big one. Okay.
You want to like control the situation that you can't control, because it creates your own discomfort. But try not to awful unsolicited advice. Like, I was even talking to someone recently and they're like, yeah, but like a lot of times that's what they want. They want advice. I'm like,
I don't know what they want. Did you ask?
You would think like you, and it's also like what we've learned. So, but it's like a lot of times someone just wants someone to hear them. And if, like you said, like if they want advice, they will tell you. Or you could even ask, like, do you want me to just listen right now and support you in that way? Or do you want me to offer advice? Or do you want both?
Yeah, I think that's a very, that's that tip right there is something that, if it's one thing y'all take away from this episode, it's definitely that. When people are coming to you and they are sharing their experience, you shouldn't feel obligated to give them advice. Because at that point, it's almost like you're not sure of what I need, but you could ask. When you give me advice, it's so much like subliminal messages that's coming from that. It's like, A, I haven't even finished venting. If I am in a place where I wasn't ready for advice, because sometimes people do provide unsolicited advice and it's helpful because you're in the space to receive that. But if it is that I'm not in the space to receive that and you're providing me with advice, to me, when people do it to me, I know it feels like they're just trying to wrap my situation up and move on.
Put it in a bowl and put it under the tree.
Put it in a bowl and it's like, see, handled. You need to relax. It's not that serious. Like that to me, that's kind of the messages that I get when people just, and it's like, I understand that they're trying to help, but it's just like, that's not what I needed right now. I'm coming to you because I want to feel validated. I want my emotions to feel validated. I want to vent. I want to just process this with you as a friend. And I don't necessarily need advice, because I feel like for me too, once I process it, I already know what I have to do, you know. I don't need the advice. I want to vent and be miserable about it for a while, and then I'll do all those things. But you got to give me the space to get there, you know?
Yeah, that's the thing. When you said that, it made me think of also, like, sometimes, like, yeah, there's the discomfort, which may be a reason why sometimes people don't, they just want to put it in that bowl and in that box and just like, it's handled all of that. It's just like, are they even in a space to receive or to like be that support you right now? Like sometimes they're going on dealing with so many things. And sometimes because we're dealing with so many things, maybe we don't realize the impact we're having on people. When you're thinking of talking to somebody about something serious and something that can be, you know, potentially a lot for them too, to help you with, like, have you considered asking, like, are you in the space for me to talk to you about something serious that's been bothering me?
And then I think sometimes people just don't recognize what they're doing. So even if you ask them if they're in the space, I think because of the way that we view mental health sometimes, people kind of just automatically go into problem solving mode.
True.
And I think that it also goes back to kind of teaching people how you want to be treated in a way. So let's say I did ask someone, you know, are you in the space? I think that you'd also have to make it clear what you want. Are you in the space to listen to me vent? Are you in the space to provide me advice? Like, it's weird, but for us to really like unlearn some of the things that we've learned, especially because it really just all goes back to how we were taught to process and deal with emotions in the home as children. And if we are as adults now trying to unlearn that in our relationships, it's going to be some questions. It's going to be some discussions that feel pretty weird to say, like, are you in the space to listen to me vent right now? I don't need advice. I just need advice. You know, to have to vocalize your needs like that might feel weird, but it's a part of that unlearning process of what we were taught relationship-wise and also how to process emotions. But asking that question, you know, are you in the space? Those things are just really important to make sure A, you're able to vocalize what you need, but B, you actually receive it. And if you are receiving it from the person, that should also give you some signs as well. Because like Emma said earlier, not everyone in your life who you are close to is going to be A, in the position to receive, or B, able to give you the support that you might need. And this is where it is good for a professional to come in and to provide you with that type of support, because everyone is carrying their own baggage, right? And some people just are not in the space. Sometimes that's all the capacity that they have. I can give you this advice, but I really can't sit here and listen to you vent, because it might be triggering to me too.
Yeah.
And I think if it is that someone comes to you, because we did speak about like the importance of validating emotions of yourself and for others, but if someone does come to you and you know you are not in the space, then you also have to be honest about that and recognize that I'm really not in the space and I can't provide what you need from me right now. And that might also be a tough conversation to have.
Yeah. Or it could even be like, can we try 2 days from now at 2 p.m.? Like,
that should be good.
Like, today and tomorrow is very stressful. Like, can we do that?
A little reschedule.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and one of my favorite, oh, wait. Before we even move on to that, it's also helpful to remember that even when you offer advice and they ask you for this advice, they're receiving this advice with like open arms or whatever, like they're like, I wanted this advice. They don't have to take it. So like, I think sometimes people think like, I offered them advice and they didn't take my advice. So don't ask me for any more advice. It's still their life. They ask you for advice. And like, sometimes when you get somebody's advice, you're like, oh yeah. Instead of just saying like, oh yeah, I'm going to take that. It might even be like, oh, that's exactly why I'm not going to do that. I didn't even think about it before. This makes it clearer that I don't want to do this. So
that reminds me. Have you ever heard of like emotional dumping?
Yeah.
Yeah. I feel like that's going to have to be a whole next episode. I'm thinking it might also be a reason why people feel inclined to give advice too, because you do have people who bring up the same situation, the same intense situations to their loved ones on multiple occasions. They are not taking the advice. And at this point, it is straining for the person close to them. But That's fun.
That's the whole of the topic, y'all. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But one thing I really like, I use this a lot more now. So I think that as humans, we have this like natural tendency to group things into like, it's like two groups. So yes or no. And just like, you either do this or you don't do this. And like, it does not work like that. Like, it's not this usually so many more like layers. So we don't have to use or, we could use and. So remember that we can use the word and instead of or. You can be hopeful about getting a new job and you could still be sad about recently losing that job. Like, no, it's not just happy vibes. It can be so many things. And that's literally what people talk about when they feel like ambivalence. So like, let's say even like first day of school, you know, sometimes you have that nervousness. And then you could also have that excitement. It's just so many emotions. Like, you can be nervous about the future and hopeful that certain things will still work out in a way that works for you.
Yeah. I don't know. I have been reading, you know, like how in more recent times, people have just become really polarized. And how they view, you know, just politics, religion. And it's not surprising that it's also how we view our emotions sometimes, that like just in that dichotomous, it has to fit in this box or this box. But I think it really does, that's really helpful to think about the and, because human experience, it's a lot of gray area.
Yeah.
You know, it's not really black and white. And we just could be so damaging to ourselves trying to fit ourselves in this one box. And we could be happy and sad at the same time. We are complex beings, you know? So why limit yourself?
I think of another discussion like I had. Like, so I was talking to someone and they were telling me, like, my mom did the best she had, as she could, right? And they were also expressing all of these other things that they were, like, they needed. And so we ended up talking about, like, but what about, like, why does it have to be either or? Like, who said it has to be either or? Can it be that, you know, my mom did the best she could, or it could, like, yeah, it could have been worse. And I also needed more. So it's not, it's about removing that, like, just that positive part and removing that guilt that now you have on yourself, or now you feel sad or shame for even feeling that way in the first place, because, for example, you know, they did the best they could. And yeah, it's not saying that you're ungrateful for what they did do. It's just you're addressing and accepting the fact that there were other things that you needed.
Yeah, I think it just goes back to, it really is just all a spectrum. Yes, you have positivity, but I mean, even the word, even calling it positivity, it just implies that anything other than that is terrible.
It's terrible, you know? Yeah.
It's crazy just how much language affects how we perceive and view things, but it's just like, there's more to life than just happy emotions. And if you could have situations like that where you have a relationship where you recognize that the person, they did do some good things, but they did some other things as well.
Mm-hmm.
Or aunt. It impacted me in a way that I would have preferred it didn't. And it's okay to say that, because it's okay to express those emotions, and you're in a safe place to express those emotions, you know? Yeah. And it, once again, it's really just, I think the biggest thing about becoming an adult and is just recognizing how much you kind of have to unlearn once you come out of certain situations, once you start establishing your own life,
mm-hmm.
It's like, it's almost like it's on us now to mm-hmm. unlearn and to improve how we did certain things.
Yeah.
And that's hard. Not saying it's easy at all, because the majority of our life has been in this environment, with our parents, our guardians, our families, with whatever situation and context, you know? And for some people, they really did have good childhoods growing up around parental figures that really taught them, you know, how to process emotions and things like that. For some people, they didn't have that. And for some people, they were taught all their life, you shouldn't feel this. You shouldn't feel that. You should be grateful, you know? And it's hard now as an adult to just let all that go. And that's why I mentioned having a safe space. Having a safe space with your loved ones, with a therapist, with your journal is so important, because as we continue to get older, we know our mental health and physical health are intertwined, and we can't just be walking around with all that energy. The responsibility is on us now to think through, how do I do better? How do I process these emotions? And toxic positivity, it might seem so simple. Oh, look on the brighter side. And also, it might have even been effective for you when you were younger to get you out of harder situations.
Yeah.
But now, you're not necessarily in that same situation anymore, and it requires a bit more complexity. You can't just look at the silver lining out of everything. You know, you can't do that for the rest of your life. You have to embrace.
Yeah, this might not be helpful.
You can't embrace the quote unquote good with the quote unquote bad. You have to just, you can't just separate it. You have to embrace everything if you really want to live a fulfilled life, a fulfilled life.
Yeah, so that's like a big way, right there, how to move away from toxic positivity too, is like addressing that it's there and just recognizing it. So any message where positivity is the only option, that's the toxic positivity right there. And that way you can pick it up. You can even say like, okay, you know, this happened. I can be grateful about this, but it doesn't mean I'm ungrateful, you know? It's just, it means I'm human. Yeah. It means that this situation kind of sucked or whatever. And even like, we talk about this all the time. Don't be afraid to unfollow. Like, it means maybe blocking that page, unfollowing, muting it, minimizing the amount of time you spent there. And yeah, just like, because like we said, toxic positivity can come in so many forms. It's like always showing this just like this perfect, positive, perfect image. And it's also ties into what we recently talked about. So like on social media and sometimes with like, you know, the couple goals, and for the most part, they're only showing like the highlight reel, right? So, and it makes sense. Nobody's going to go on, well, I can't say nobody because I don't know, like, chances are people are not going on live and saying like, now let's have the argument, you know? So it's just considering all of those things and just giving yourself the permission to filter out what you need to filter out without judgment.
Yeah. And I think just to wrap it up, just be gentle with yourselves.
Yes.
You know, self-compassion when you are going through something that is challenging and difficult is going to be very important when you do take the step to say, I want to process these emotions. So self-compassion, don't rush yourself. Try to ease up off of the negative self-talk, you know. Just recognize I'm sad right now. I'm sad.
I feel like we're wrapping up, but as you said, that it just made me think of another thing. Like, you know, sometimes we even saw like the people closest to us, like we're like, something's going on there. Like they're sad or something, or they're angry or something. And they say like, no, it's fine. And so we even learned like, okay, that's what we gotta do. Like, no, it's fine. And like also finding that balance, because it's like, and we're not expecting you. So like the first person you see, they're like, hi, how are you? And they're like already walking by you and you're like, I'm not doing great, you know, like the floor is crumbling beneath me. This happened. And so now that person's just like, oh, wow. I mean, like you might find someone who was actually there to listen, but that person, that person may be like, oh, I don't even know this person. I'm also in a rush now. So,
yeah.
But compassion, all of these things Marissa was saying. And I like that you also said this could have been helpful for you when you were younger, or in certain ways it can be helpful. And just removing the guilt and shame, like,
yeah,
this was helpful for you. And now you know that you have other options, or more options than one.
Yeah.